You're listening to Mom Talk, the online community radio show connecting moms across Canada and around the world. Join Helen, Kara, and Tracy, the parenting team from CanadianParents.com, as they talk all things mom. Mom Talk, a podcast for moms, by moms, because we're all in this together.
Hi, everyone. This is Helen and Kara from MomTalk.ca. Today, we're talking food, slow-cooked food, that is, and we're happy to have Sarah and Bea from the CPO community joining us. Hello, girls.
Hi, Helen.
Hello.
Okay, so before we start exchanging tips and ideas for slow cooking success, I thought it would be a good idea to take a little time to talk about CanadianParents.com Slow Cooking Club. So, Kara, as part of the team that created this club and did the testing of the recipes and whatnot, I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about what the club is about and what members receive and maybe how they can join.
Well, the Slow Cooker Club is a way to try out some new recipes and learn more about slow cooking in a group setting. You can do that either by participating on our message board, the Slow Cooker Club message board, or by commenting and looking at the comments below each of the recipes that are in the club. So basically what the club is, you sign up and you will get 8 weekly emails, and they contain new recipes to try, all the way from main dishes to desserts, and they were all tested by the CPO team, and some of the recipes were even submitted by the CPO community members. You'll also receive a weekly challenge that have been really, really popular on the Slow Cooker message board, and you'll also get some slow cooking tips and whatnot. To join the club, it's really easy. All you have to do is go to the newsletter button, which is on the right-hand sidebar of CanadianParents.com, and make sure that you check off that Join the Slow Cooker Club box there.
Also, I should point out a couple things. First of all, it's free. So no cost to join.
Yes, definitely.
And second of all, if you're already receiving a Canadian Parents newsletter, right at the bottom right side of your newsletter is where you can control the profile of Canadian Parents newsletters. If you just follow that link, you'll see what you're signed up for, and you can add the Slow Cooker Club to that area as well. So when it comes to the Slow Cooker Club, I wonder if there are listeners who are thinking, you know, why would I bother joining a club when I could just go get a slow cooker cookbook and cook? Like, you know, is it going to be a time waster? So I thought maybe, Sarah, you could talk a little bit about it, because I know that you already did slow cook before the club, and you've joined the club and are an active member of the club. So I thought maybe, Sarah, you could talk a little bit about, you know, why anybody would join a club like this and, you know, what the benefits of being part of a club would be.
Sure. I've been using a slow cooker since we got married almost 14 years ago, so we've tried an awful lot of recipes, and we've pretty much been happy with most of them. There's only maybe one or two that at least my husband didn't like. Kids and I are a little pickier than he is. And I like to use a slow cooker sometimes to make a meal that he might like and the rest of us don't, so I can cook two meals easily, and then he can have it for his lunches. I have a lot of cookbooks that I've collected over the years, but I find when you have a cookbook, there might only be one or two recipes out of it that you really like. And I've collected a lot of the Kraft What's Cooking magazines, and I find the same with that. Like, there's one or two in it that you like. So why have the added expense of picking up a Crock-Pot cookbook when you're only going to use one or two recipes? The newsletter gives you a chance to try out recipes that you know have been tested by the CPO team. And there's a few websites that I've gone to look for slow cooker recipes. And there's lots there, but you don't know who's tried them. So, you know, you don't know if it's been a flop or if it's just a recipe pulled from wherever.
I think those are all really good points, because, like, I know for myself, prior to this club, I kind of had 5 recipes I just always made, and those were my slow cooker recipes. Now it's like I've got a ton of recipes that I can try, and there are some of the recipes in the Slow Cooker Club that aren't really for my family, and I can kind of tell what our family's going to like and what they're not going to like, so we haven't tried anything that we haven't really enjoyed. But it also has helped me for the slow cooker cookbooks I have purchased in the past. It helps me to know what kind of recipes are going to be successful just by identifying with the recipes that I've tried with the club that have worked out really well.
Yeah, and I found that I really enjoyed listening to other people's feedback on some of the recipes as well, because a lot of people made, you know, a few changes here and there and gave me some new ideas of how I can tweak up the recipes as well.
Oh, I totally agree, definitely. I think the comments on the recipes are fantastic, because Like, I think that it helps the club to improve by targeting certain recipes that might need to be tweaked a little bit, but also just hearing about or reading about the things that people have done to a recipe to make it better. I think that's the whole point of the community aspect of this club. I know the process of creating this club was really fun for our team, and Tracy, Kara, and I tested every recipe that you'll find in the club, but not all of the recipes made it to the club, and I can tell you that there are some recipes that are just not very good.
No.
And I think our team was actually a little surprised. I think we thought, okay, here's a bunch of recipes, let's test them, and then the club will be there, but we actually found that there were a lot of recipes that looked really good on the surface, or the photo looked really good, but the actual recipe didn't taste that good, and our families were the guinea pigs to that. And I know that I learned an awful lot in the process of slow cooking, not just the recipes, but how to use my slow cooker and, you know, when a slow cooker is hot, how I can modify my recipe to make it work better for me. Kara, I know that you really got into testing it because you love to cook in your family. You have a varied age level of children, so it's interesting to try and find something that the oldest will like and the youngest will like. So, you know, what did you learn in the process of testing all these recipes and creating the club?
Well, I found that really a big learning curve is actually it's learning about your slow cooker, learning about its temperature, and knowing how long something's going to take, because one slow cooker may cook completely differently than the other one. So really, it was about me learning to get to know my slow cooker and knowing, you know, maybe this recipe, even though it calls for 8 hours, it may only need six. So it was really learning about my slow cooker. And I think that's what a lot of people, they're nervous that, you know, they may be at work for the day and they're worried that, you know, they're going to come home and their food's going to be burnt. So I suggest maybe like taking a weekend and doing when you know you're going to be home and really testing out your slow cooker and seeing how long it will take to cook certain dishes. But I learned a lot. I learned there's, you know, many recipes out there that they do. They sound wonderful. They look wonderful, the picture, but they taste horrible. So that's why it was really fun to do this club, to really focus on the recipes that we really liked and that turned out really well.
And I think your point about like really kind of getting to know your slow cooker is probably one of the best points, because like within the message boards, I see people asking like, how long should I let this cook? And, you know, it really comes down to every slow cooker is different, and you really do need to get to know how your slow cooker performs. And even though the recipe might say 8 hours, well, if your slow cooker is a little on the hot side, then maybe it only needs 6 hours. Or you might want it to be a little longer because you want your food to be cooked softer than maybe the recipe calls for. So getting to know the recipe and the slow cooker, I think, is vital. And there are very few recipes that are to the letter. Like, I think you can modify things and make things work for your family and for your slow cooker, and then you'll be much happier with the results of your dinners. Okay, so for the fun part, the recipes, I know, Kara, the one recipe that I keep seeing and I actually tell everybody about is your rotisserie-style chicken. And I think this has to be the most popular recipe in the club. And if you haven't tried it, you will have to join the club and try it, because it is a really excellent recipe. Kara, where did this recipe come from? And, you know, are there any tips that you might offer that people have questioned within the comments of the recipe or maybe within the club message board?
Okay, well, this chicken recipe is actually one that I used to do in the oven, and it's a roasted chicken with a Memphis rub. But I tweaked it up and decided that I'm going to try to do this in the slow cooker. So I did some searching on how to do a full-size chicken in the slow cooker, and one of the tips that I found was to take tin foil balls and set them on the bottom of your slow cooker. So what it would do is raise your chicken up off the bottom so it wasn't sitting in its own juices, which causes the chicken to cook a little drier, yet not too dry, but it causes it so it's not sitting in the juices the whole time and cooks it more like a rotisserie style chicken. So, and of course, the Memphis rub is a blend of different seasonings and spices. There's paprika and some garlic seasoning and onion powder, and there's some brown sugar, all kinds of really good stuff. And you rub it all over and make sure you rub some inside the cavity as well, because that really helps to get some of the flavor in through the chicken as well. and you cook it on high. And everyone questions that, well, isn't that too long, high, 8 hours on high? But I've always done it 8 hours on high. And, I mean, like I said before, your slow cooker may be a little hotter, so maybe a little less time may work better for you. But it's a fabulous chicken.
Now, if I wondered about, I know there are some slow cookers that have a thing that you can put inside to raise your food. Would it work with something like that, or are the tinfoil balls the best?
Well, you know, I haven't tried it. I know that there are some slow cookers that have racks, but I find that the racks are just not quite high enough. Those tinfoil balls, those one-inch tinfoil balls, just seem to raise it up just high enough to be out of it. And someone was asking me about gravy, like, do you still get some drippings? And there
The gravy is the best I've ever made.
Yeah, there is drippings, and yes, you can make gravy, and like Sarah said, it's really good.
Oh, that's great. Well, I know this rotisserie chicken is everyone else's favorite. Kara, do you have a favorite recipe within the club that you'd want to comment on?
Well, Helen, I must say I really enjoyed your mashed potatoes. I did tweak it up a bit because I was a little concerned about not having enough liquid. So I added some more liquid, and I added a little bit of chicken broth to the mixture as well. And then I cooked them all day, and it was funny, the day I made them, my daughter, Mackenzie, actually peeled the potatoes for it, and that evening she happened to say that they were the best mashed potatoes she's ever had in her life.
Sarah, I know that you probably have a cookbook full of recipes prior to joining the club, but is there a particular recipe within the club that you have really found that has been popular with your family?
The slow cooker macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, that's
now,
mine too.
Macaroni and cheese is a pretty basic recipe, and it doesn't need to be done in the slow cooker, but with the timing with after school can sometimes be difficult when you're trying to get supper ready. I have kids leaving and kids arriving between 3 and 4:30. So it's really convenient for me to be able to make the macaroni and cheese during nap time, when I don't have any little ones under my feet, and toss it in the crock pot, and it's ready for supper.
Yeah, I totally agree. And
I really like that one.
There are comments on the, I think it was on the message boards, maybe the recipes about, you know, macaroni is so easy, why would you bother doing it in the crock pot? And I think it's exactly what you said. For a lot of families, either you get home too late and you can't pull it off.
Or you're picking someone up after school.
Yeah, or you have people coming and going. And I find it just seems like as soon as the kids get home, the day just kind of zips by, and then
exactly.
You're like, oh, what's for dinner? I would definitely agree with, especially if you're at home, taking advantage of having it just going, and then you just know that dinner is ready. So it just kind of gives you a bit of a peace of mind. And I think that's true with a few of the recipes, that they could be pulled off very easily in an hour in the oven. But sometimes there are days when you just want to know that it's just cooking and you don't want to have to worry about it. And it also gives you the time to spend with your kids after school and not just preparing a meal. And then everybody can help set the table and make a salad or whatever, and then you have it. I know my favorite recipe in the club outside of that macaroni, it has become a real favorite, is the lasagna. And not because it really tastes any different than any lasagna I would make in the oven, but it's one of those things, I don't always have the time to prepare it after school and then get it in the oven. And most lasagnas take an hour and a half to cook. I just like knowing that it's in the crock pot, but I love the flavor of it, and all this, the flavors come together. And I don't know if either of you guys have tried that particular recipe, but I did it for a potluck on the weekend, and it was a huge hit. They were all asking for the recipe, and I said, well, go join the club, and you'll get the recipe.
I haven't had a chance yet, but it was one of the ones that I was planning on doing this week, so I will make sure I definitely do it now.
I've tried a different one in the past, and it's great to have it in the crock pot because, I mean, it takes 2 hours in the oven anyway.
Yeah.
You might as well have it in your crock pot. And then you can have, you know, hot dishes like this in the summer.
Yes.
That's a big plus of using the slow cooker.
Yeah, and you know, I just was going to move on to cooking tips. So that's a really good place for us to start, Sarah, because I think a lot of people identify a slow cooker as being a winter cooking appliance, but really, especially with a lot of these recipes that are in the club, the rotisserie chicken and the macaroni lasagna, you can have dinner cooking in the summertime without heating up your house. So I actually think that it's even better in the summer because it frees you up to have fun with the kids and do other things, go to the beach for the day or whatever, and then you don't have that heat in the kitchen. Kara, when it comes to slow cooking, I know that you have found little things that have worked for you, like the foil balls for the chicken. What one tip would you offer listeners when it comes to using a slow cooker?
Well, one tip of mine would be, I know a lot of crock pots out there and slow cookers out there now are not programmable. And my newest slow cooker is programmable, which is fantastic. But if, say, you wanted to do a dessert that only took, 5 hours, but you are at work, how are you going to get that slow cooker to turn on? So one tip that I have is buying a programmable timer that you can plug into your wall and then plug your slow cooker into that. So as long as it's something that's not going to spoil by sitting for a few hours, you can actually set that to turn on at noon and turn off at 5, and you've then created a programmable slow cooker for yourself. So it's just a little CSA-approved timer that you can use for appliances, and that would be one my tip.
Sarah, do you have one more tip?
I find that slow cooking and meal planning go hand in hand, and I'm big on meal planning so that I know what we're having, and the only downfall is that I often forget to look at the calendar the night before and take meat out of the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest meal planning with your slow cooking and making a conscious effort to check and see what needs to be taken out of the freezer.
And my tip would be to keep your slow cooker out. Don't put it away. Don't store it in a cupboard. Just make it one of those appliances that is just part of your everyday life. And because I think if it's on the counter, you're more likely to use it. Now, if you don't have counter space, it's a bit different. But if you have the space or can make the space, just having it available to use makes it easier to use.
I have 4 of them that are in constant rotation, and I now have a slow cooker cupboard, and my daughter was trying to hide the other day, and she said, please, please move your quack pot out of my way.
Okay, well, let's finish this up by talking a bit about slow cookers. I know there are so many people who have slow cookers that, wedding gift or anniversary gift, and they're in the cupboard, they're still in the box, they've never used it. They look at slow cooking as something that you did in the 70s, and I don't really know how to use it. Then there are also people who do not have a slow cooker. When it comes to buying a slow cooker, if you have gone out to look, you'll see there's quite a variety available, and slow cooking, it may be from the 70s, but it is not a 70s way of cooking, and there are a lot of really great recipes. And now the slow cooking manufacturers have come up with all kinds of really great tools, and every family kind of has their own needs. So I thought maybe we could just talk a little bit about different styles and functions that are available today, and then we'll each share kind of the slow cookers that we're using. So Kara, can you just kind of do a little overview on the types of crock pots that are out there, not necessarily the brand names, but the styles and the manual versus programmable and those sorts of things?
Yeah, well, basically I would say probably 3 to 4 different styles. You have your manual, which would be a slow cooker that has a low, a high, and an off. I have one of those, works great for, doing something that you don't need to have a warm setting. Then you have kind of a semi-programmable, which will give you a low, a high, and a warm setting. And then there's the programmable slow cookers, which they have the option to either set to low or high, and then also be able to program a time in there. So then when that time is up, it will automatically set to warm for you. So this is great for someone that may work out of the house that, they know that they're not going to be home right for 5 o'clock. They don't want to overcook that meal, and it will set to warm and keep your dish warm while you're gone. And then there's also some newer ones as well that have probes. So if you're doing a roast, but you don't want your roast more than a medium high or you prefer it medium, you can set that to the proper temperature, and it will automatically set to warm after that as well.
So, Kara, you can move on to what slow cookers you use, because I know sometimes you cook 2 different dishes at a time, so you obviously have more than one slow cooker in
Definitely.
Your house.
Well, I used to have 3, but someone inherited my 3rd. That would be Sarah. But I have a manual, and then I have a programmable, which is, I'll say, it's called the VersaWare Pro, made by Crock-Pot. And it's a 6-quart oval size, and it has a saute feature, which is my absolute favorite feature. It comes with a heat diffuser that you can put on top of your burner. I have a glass top stove, so I have to use that. I can set the insert of my slow cooker right on the stove. So there's lots of recipes that call for sauteing or cooking your meats firsthand, like ground beef and onions and celery and different vegetables. So I tend to saute things up. And then that way you're not having to transfer your vegetables from one pot, losing some of that flavor that's in there to back into your slow cooker insert. You can just take it right from the stove, put it right back into your slow cooker. And the other great feature, too, is that it also can go in the oven. So you can actually brown some things up if you need to at the end of the day as well. Fabulous, fabulous slow cooker. If you're looking at one, I would highly recommend it.
Sarah, how about you? You said that you have a slow cooker cupboard, so that means you have more than one slow cooker.
I have, my first one was a wedding gift, and it's a Revol Crock-Pot. I think it's probably about 4-quart.
Yeah, it's a 4-quart. Yeah.
And it's a taller one. So it doesn't really fit like a chicken or a good-sized roast, but it's good for soup or sauces and stuff like that. And then I inherited an unwanted slow cooker circa 1970s, and I have to say it's my favorite. Aside from the chipped cover, it's one of my favorites. And I inherited one of Kara's because she just didn't have the storage room, and I have a whole cupboard. So sometimes we swap that one back and forth.
Yes, I sometimes need to use it because I need it size-wise.
And I like that one as well. Then I have a Brevetti, and it's 8 quarts, and I think it's programmable. It's a digital one. I just haven't sat down with the manual enough to really figure out how to program it, and I'm always home to turn it on anyway, so that's not a huge concern of mine. But because it is digital, I don't know if this happens with all digital ones, but I find that if you have to unplug it to move it, like if you're taking it somewhere and you want to plug it in when you get there, then you've lost that heat setting, and it has to start heating up all over again, and it takes a long time to heat up.
So you probably should just plug it in, don't touch it.
Right. I do like it, though, because of its size, and it's rectangular, and I have, there's buffet insert pans that came with it. Say Christmas dinner, I can put the vegetables in there with hot water in the stoneware, put the insert pans in, put the vegetable sides in, and keep them warm. And then I use my other slow cookers for Kara's turkey stuffing. And I do the mashed potatoes and toss them in the crock pot. Oh, and then dessert in one. So I have cooked meals using all four.
Well, that's
the same
good.
Time.
And you can see that like they all have their purposes, and every slow cooker will work for you. It's just a matter of finding what works best.
Exactly.
And if you're out of the house, then having something that will switch to warm may be something that is more important to you than if you're at home and you can go out and switch it to warm if you do happen to have that setting.
Right.
When we were preparing for this club, one of the things I was working on was a slow cooker roundup. So if you are looking for a slow cooker, we did kind of pick out the best of the best and try to provide a bit of variety, and you can read about that, and there'll be a link on the Mom Talk page to take you to that. But in the process of testing things and talking to parents who had different styles of crock pots, I came upon a few that I really liked. Certainly the one that Kara has, the Versa, is fantastic, and those saute features and being able to put it in the oven to maybe brown some cheese on tops is great. I came across the All Clad Deluxe slow cooker. And I actually have a few friends who have this slow cooker, and they absolutely love it. It's very similar to the Versa in that you can saute, and you can put it in the oven. So I believe it's a 6-quart, so it's a good size. You can do the chickens and larger things in it as well. Unlike a lot of slow cookers that have crockery, it is actually made of aluminum and has a coating on it. So you can saute on the stove and put it in, and it really actually feels like you're cooking with a pot. And I have to say that of all of the slow cookers I've ever used, and I have used a billion kinds, well, maybe not a billion, but a lot, it is the best of the best. And I say that because for someone like me who uses a slow cooker, like say 4 or 5 times a week, for me, it's like replacing my stove. So for me, I would be willing to spend the money on a good one, and that's what a few of my friends have done who use this one, is they use it so often that they're willing to spend the money. If you're slow cooking once a week, then probably that wouldn't be the choice. But really, I've never found it to be hot, so I think that's why I like the Versa. I really like it because it doesn't seem like it runs really hot. The other slow cooker that I tested out, other than the Versa, was the Hamilton Beach Stay and Go. And I think everybody who has ever taken a slow cooker on the road with them can appreciate the function of this one. And that is that it has these clamps that keep the lid down. And what I like about that is that you know that when you take it in the car that it's not going to tip over. And I know we all have stories about things tipping over. And Sarah, I'm going to let you tell your story.
Well, we were having a home and school Christmas potluck supper, and I was only going, you know, a five-minute drive away from the house. So I made a meatball stoup, and I had it in the crock pot, and driving down the road and had to make a turn on a slippery street, and over it tipped. Oh. Let me tell you, hot tomato sauce on the floor of your van is not a pretty sight. And it was really, really hot and very hard to clean up in the dark outside. It was a bitter, bitter cold night.
I will admit her van did smell good for a couple of weeks.
Oh, it did. It was a mess to clean up, a real mess. I do have a tote that the crock pot will fit in and secures the lid. But I just thought, I'm only going 5 minutes away. I don't need to bother with that. It's in the basement.
Yes, those totes are great. I do have one for my smaller crock pot, my small deep one, and the totes work really well. Although I think even having a clamp as well as a tote would work, because I have had a little bit of leakage even with the tote.
Well, the one thing I like about this Hamilton Beach one, and I'm sure there are more than just Hamilton Beach, but it has this thing in the top, and it comes with a ladle, and it sits right in, so it kind of holds it in place. You kind of have everything in one place when you're going somewhere. And the other really cool feature is on the very front where normally you see, like, the name brand of the company, there's a little spot you can slide a piece of paper in to say what it is that is in the crock pot. So if you are going to, like, a party where there are many crock pots, at least you can identify what's in the crock pot, especially if it's something that people might not be able to tell what it is at a glance. So, but really, I think there are so many different styles and prices. I mean, the All-Clad really is probably one of the higher-priced ones, but if you're looking for a slow cooker that is going to really perform, then the All-Clad and the Versa are both kind of higher-end slow cookers, but perform really, really well. But at the same time, you can get a $25 or $30 slow cooker that allows you to manually operate it, and they can do very well as well.
And one other thing, too, to mention is that they can vary in price, like, greatly. For instance, I know that the VersaWare, I've seen it anywhere from $50 all the way up to $120. So really, you know, shop around. If that's one that you have in mind or you're thinking about them, just do your price comparing because they can vary in price greatly.
Absolutely. And I talked to other people who may have a similar family and work dynamic and see what's working for them, because you may not require a high-end slow cooker for the needs of your family, so why put the money out? But at the same time, if you are cooking on a regular basis and you're disappointed because your slow cooker is running too hot and maybe everything's burning to the side and you really want something that you can depend on, then you know you might want to invest a little bit more to know that your dinner is going to turn out exactly the way you want it. All right, well, we're out of time. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem.
We look forward to reading more about your tips and recipes in the club message board. For more information about today's podcast and the CPO Slow Cooker Club, please visit mumtalk.ca.